is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The fourth inmate who escaped from a New Orleans jail Friday was captured Monday. 10 in all broke out of that jail. 3 are also in custody, and authorities have also arrested a maintenance worker at the jail, accused of allegedly shutting off the water to the toilet to help the inmates escape. ABC's Faith Abube is in New Orleans.
Now, according to investigators right now, what they're saying is during that internal investigation over the last several days, they interviewed all the employees, and Sterling Williams allegedly told them that the inmates on Friday asked him to turn off the water to the toilet, which they moved out of the way and crawled through a hole behind it.
3 U.S. officials confirming that President Trump will announce the initial plans for the Golden Dome missile defense plan at the White House today. That system would help defend against ICBMs and hypersonic capabilities. Mortgage rates on the rise again, the average rate for a 30-year home loan topping 7%. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. La Crosse Logan High School will have a new principal. Today, the school district of La Crosse announced longtime education administrator Luke Madsen will be taking on the role. Madsen has been a principal in Winona and Black River Falls previously. District officials said that Madsen brings over 25 years of education experience to the role. Madsen graduated with a master's degree in professional development from UW-La Crosse. He'll begin his work as Logan High School principal on July 1st. 2 people are dead after what police at UW-Platteville are calling an isolated incident Monday afternoon. The Platteville Police Department said that early in their investigation, they found that there was no danger to the public. Late Monday night, the university announced that 2 22-year-old students had passed away after the incident at Wilgus Hall, a dormitory on the UW-Platteville campus. Finals were canceled this week, and campus will stay open so that students and staff can access mental health resources. Gas prices went up for the first time in a few weeks this week. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices rose 7.1 cents over the last week for an average of $2.98 today. This is 2.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 38 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Oil prices jumped following President Trump's decision to reduce tariffs and strike new trade deals. This move caused gas prices to increase in over three quarters of U.S. states last week.
Here in La Crosse, prices largely are following the statewide trend, currently sitting at about $3 per gallon on average. A Trempealeau County footbridge is a total loss after a fire last week. The Wisconsin DNR said that the bridge spanning the Tank Creek near Trempealeau caught on fire last Thursday. As a result, the damages have left the bridge unusable. The former railroad bridge was built in 1957. There's no detour for the trail, which is 24 miles long and connects to the La Crosse River Trail. The DNR is investigating the fire while it cleans up debris and asks that people using the trail stay off of the damaged bridge for their safety. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, for the first time in 2 weeks, the Brewers with back-to-back wins. They beat the Orioles last night 5-4. William Contreras said he thought he just had an okay game, going 4-for-4, including the winning RBI. Pat Murphy.
William has very high expectations. No, he wasn't just good. He was great.
Game 2 of the series tonight. NFL, the Packers signed Matthew Golden to a 4-year, $17.5 million contract guaranteed. Golden says he can now afford to buy back his grandmother's house in Texas, foreclosed a few years ago.
That's the house I grew up in when I was younger. You know, it got taken away from us a couple of years ago. You know, just knowing that I'm in a position to be able to get that back for all my family. Now, that's something my grandma always wanted. Before my great-grandma died, you know, she always wanted one of her grandsons to make it to the NFL. You know, I'm the last one standing, and I made it.
That's Packers rookie receiver Matthew Golden with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Wet and windy today, with gusts approaching 40 miles per hour and high temperatures 20 degrees below average, only scraping 50. Slap some wind chills on top of that, plus the rainfall soaking at times, a good 1 to 2 inches is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Hello, Bluey.
Talking with our pal Stuart J. Waddles. This is an episode of Bluey that Stuart turned me on to. I like this show so much. Would it be weird if I left my wife, remarried, and had kids with someone else just so I could watch Bluey with my new set of kids?
I don't think it'd be that weird. I've heard a weirder.
You have?
Make a great story.
You get the exclusive.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Kira Sabin, our positivity psychologist coach, will be here in her second of a three-part series on building community. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the third hour of our program. I just wanted to emphasize from my opening rant, my first hour rant, that this provision in the Big Beautiful Bill and in Trump's tax cuts for billionaires legislation, this provision that would say that basically courts can no longer enforce contempt of court unless somebody has put up a bond. With that single stroke, Trump will have basically crowned himself king. No Congress and no courts can stop him. And even if Congress were to try, it would take the courts to enforce their ability to hold hearings, investigations, subpoenas, laws. And without power of the contempt, the courts will have lost that ability. So just wanted to emphasize that. Meanwhile, Donald Trump promised no taxes on restaurant tips. Actually, he promised no taxes on tips, period. And, of course, Wall Street is very excited about that because all these bankers are saying, oh, yeah, you know that $1 million a year bonus that I get? Well, that's not a bonus. That's a tip. I'm serious. I mean, you've got a bunch of billionaires and a bunch of very, very wealthy people on Wall Street and in banks and whatnot who are very excited about this provision. Let's just look at the restaurant workers for a moment. Let's just pretend that it's only about restaurant workers. One Fair Wage looked into this, and what they found is that, well, yeah, these restaurant workers may not have to pay taxes on their tips, at least for 4 years. It looks like, by the way, increasingly, it looks like the provisions like no taxes on tips, no taxes on Social Security, if those even make their way into the final bill, will be time limited, to just the next couple, 3-4 years. And then after that, they'll go away. So if there's a Democratic president following Trump, that Democratic president will be blamed for the tax on tips and the tax on Social Security going back up, number one. Number two, the tax breaks for people making under millions of dollars, the tax breaks for average working people, those will expire in a couple of years, 3 years more or less. But the tax breaks on billionaires will be there forever, or at least for the full 10 years of the reconciliation legislation. But here's where it gets wild. What One Fair Wage found, this organization, found that 33% of people who work in blue states, they call them fair wage states, states where you have a reasonable minimum wage, 33% of restaurant tipped restaurant workers in states like Oregon, where if you work in a restaurant, you get paid the actual minimum wage plus tips. 33% of them are on Medicaid. And in the low-wage states, the states that haven't raised the federal minimum wage above $7.25 for their states, in those states, it's 37% of tipped restaurant workers are on Medicaid. And, of course, the Trump administration is proposing to strip Medicaid from somewhere between 4 and 14 million Americans, many of them children, many of them elderly, but many of them the working poor, tipped workers in restaurants, for example. So, Trump's no taxes on tips has now become no health care for restaurant workers. Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin met with Donald Trump on the telephone yesterday for about 2.5 hours. And, you know, there have been many phone calls between Trump and Putin, apparently, over the last several years, at least according to news reports. And in no case that I can recall did Russia actually provide a readout of the call. Well, they did yesterday. Why would they do that? Because, you know, they want to clarify that what Trump said after the call was complete BS. After the call, Trump said, Putin is going to immediately start negotiating a ceasefire with Ukraine. You know, I got a lot done, right? Yeah. Well, this is what Putin actually says, or what the Russian government, they said, Russia will propose and is ready to work with the Ukrainian side on a memorandum concerning a possible future peace treaty. In other words, and then they said, you know, as the possibility of a temporary ceasefire if corresponding agreements are reached. Right. And then they added, and this is mind-boggling, this is what Putin said after the call. He said, at the same time, I want to emphasize that overall Russia's position is clear. Our main objective is to eliminate the root cause of this crisis. Well, what's the root cause of this crisis? The fact that Ukraine is not part of Russia. I mean, you know, Putin gave a 2.5 hour speech on this just a couple of years ago about, you know, we're not invading Ukraine because of NATO. We're not invading Ukraine because we feel threatened. We're invading Ukraine because Ukraine isn't a sovereign nation. It's a Russian state. It's a breakaway state, and we want to bring it back the same way China wants to bring back Taiwan. And we are bringing it back, Putin says. I mean, look at, they've taken a fifth of the country so far. So Trump had said, there is a tremendous opportunity for Russia to create massive amounts of jobs and wealth. Its potential is unlimited. Likewise, Ukraine can be a great beneficiary on trade in the process of rebuilding its countries. Negotiations between Russia and Ukraine will begin immediately. Nah, wah, wah, right. Not so much. In fact, Trump has given the Kremlin a financial out with no accountability. And over the weekend, you know, the day before Trump has this phone call with Putin, they launched their deadliest drone strike so far, killing 11 people in Ukraine. So here we are. Meanwhile, the tornadoes are coming, right? Tornado ravaged Kentucky, Missouri, Virginia. 28 people across these states were killed. Global warming is increasing the heat in the atmosphere, which is energy, which makes weather systems more energetic, which makes storms more violent. And the warmer the air is, the more moisture it can hold. And the more moisture it holds, the more of these rivers of water that you get that produce massive flooding. And, we had mile-wide tornadoes over the weekend in Kentucky. I mentioned earlier, I grew up in Michigan. We had tornadoes every single summer. I mean, it was just, you know, it was part of life. But mile-wide tornadoes? Nah. They would take out a house here and there from time to time. They, you know, knock down trees and things. But so anyhow, this is going on. Global warming is driving more and more severe weather. And what's the Trump administration's response? They're cutting back on the National Weather Service. In fact, the Weather Service office in Kentucky that warned people typically is not staffed overnight. Now, they did, you know, some of the people working there did show up in the middle of the night on Sunday night so that they could, warn people that this was coming, and God bless them. But the office was officially closed. They were under no obligation to do that. This is just people doing what they felt was the right thing. The St. Louis mayor, St. Louis, Missouri Mayor Kara Spencer on MSNBC said, what we need right now is federal assistance. This was apparently the worst tornado hit in the history of St. Louis. And Mayor Spencer says, our city cannot shoulder this alone. The state of Missouri cannot shoulder this alone. This is the whole point of having a government, is to do the things that we can't do individually. You know, when David Koch was running for vice president back in 1980, you know, he made the point that government should just get out of this business of you know, educating people and building roads and doing, you know, and taking care of people during disasters. He wanted FEMA ended. He wanted the EPA ended. He wanted the public schools ended. All these things, you know, the stuff that is Project 2025, basically. And, you know, his argument was, well, you know, rich people can take care of themselves and they'll, you know, with a little charity, they'll take care of the people around them. And, you know, if we go back to, you know, when millions of Americans are living in poverty, that wasn't so terrible for our grandparents' generation, was it? They survived it. I mean, this is his pitch, essentially. And so, you know, they've gutted FEMA. And again, the mayor of St. Louis, FEMA has not been on the ground and we have not confirmed assistance from FEMA at this point. And Kristi Noem, the Homeland Security Director, in a social media post about the hurricanes in the Midwest, made no mention of FEMA. Instead said, the government will take a backseat to local efforts. She says, we discussed how while the emergency management is best led by local authorities, you know, yeah, let's just dump all those bills on them, because here at the federal level, we've got to gut as much of this government as we can so that we can pay for the tax cuts for our billionaires who put Republicans in office. I mean, it's a nice little scheme, right? Billionaires, Spiff, Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito, vote for Citizens United so that billionaires can buy politicians. Billionaires then start buying politicians, and the politicians figure out ways to kick back deregulation and tax breaks to those billionaires. And who's left out in the cold? Who's screwed as a result of this? All of us. You and me. I mean, the rest of us. And that's where we're at now in the United States. Is the gutting of our government to pay for tax cuts for billionaires. And why there isn't like a more widespread revolt against it. Well, I know why. Because Fox News is here. We've got billionaire-owned right-wing media, three different billionaire-owned right-wing television networks, billionaire-owned radio stations, billionaire-supported podcasts, Russia-supported podcasts, all of them saying what Trump does is wonderful.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
I mean, they're still promoting trickle-down economics, which, and all that does is produce a nation of peons. 17 minutes past the hour.
In America, personal religious beliefs should be just that, personal. But today, Christian nationalism is on the rise, threatening the separation of church and state. Laws are being passed based on religious doctrine instead of reason, eroding our rights and freedoms. In legislatures, public schools, and even courtrooms, one set of religious beliefs is being forced onto everyone else. But that's not what our founders intended. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is fighting back as the nation's leading group of freethinkers working to keep religion out of government. FFRF protects your right to think for yourself, whether you've always been secular, left religious, religion behind, or simply believe in true religious freedom for everyone. If we don't stand up now, we may lose our religious freedoms. Join FFRF in defending our secular constitution and keeping faith a personal choice, not a government mandate. Visit ffrf.us/freedom or text Hartman to 511-511 today to learn more and become a member. Visit ffrf.us/freedom, because in a truly free country, no one's faith should dictate everyone's future. Text Hartman with two N's to 511-511 today. Text fees may apply.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
keeping you connected to your local community with good news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's a hit. Milwaukee Brewers baseball cards are being shared in several communities across the state. The partnership is with police officers in Green Bay, La Crosse, Kenosha, Milwaukee, and Madison, and meant to be an icebreaker between the cops and kids. Here's Brewers President of Business Operations, Rick Schlesinger.
Eventually want to do it to more than just the major cities. We're trying to get around the state as best we can and to sort of engage with our friends around the state. We're a statewide team. We're not just a Milwaukee team.
So see an officer, ask for your own comic book style baseball cards featuring all your favorite Brewers players. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Our daily song is now available on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube Music, Pandora, Tidal, Deezer, iHeartRadio, and a whole bunch of other platforms. Just look for songs by Louise and Tom Hartman. Check it out. So tell me the truth. How many different beauty potions do you have sitting on your bathroom counter right now, eh? If it's more than just Vibrant Super C Serum, listen up. The ingredients in this one bottle can replace your day creams, eye creams, night creams, neck creams, wrinkle creams, and your dark spot reducers. Made in the USA with the highest quality ingredients, including vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, vitamin B5, and vitamin E, Super C Serum delivers noticeable results. Louise loves this stuff. Simplify your skincare routine, get a healthier complexion, and minimize wrinkles and age spots with Vibrance. And if you don't find it better than your current skincare routine, you get a full refund. Just go to Vibrance.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, to save up to 37% off and get free shipping. That's Vibrance. It's spelled V-I-B-R-I-A-N-C-E. Vibrance.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, to save up to 37% off and get free shipping on this extraordinary skincare treatment. Vibrance, V-I-B-R-I-A-N-C-E, Vibrance.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. Welcome back. 23 minutes past the hour, and what's on your mind? Let's pick up your calls here. Michael in Falls, Pennsylvania. Hey, Michael, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
My
last
pleasure.
Last December, the SBA was in dire need of more funding.
The Small Business Administration you're talking about.
Yes. You recall the damage the hurricanes did in South Carolina, North Carolina, et cetera. And, of course, the SBA needed money to get those businesses back on their feet.
Right. They typically offer loans.
Yes, yes. And, of course, that's under FEMA. So they passed a bill of, I believe it was $110 million. And Biden signed it into law in December. My question is, does that money disappear when a new administration comes into play?
And I don't believe so. I think, you know, once money is appropriated, it's there until it's spent. What the game that the Trump administration has been playing, though, is called impoundment. This is something that Nixon tried to do back in the day, and the Supreme Court ruled was unconstitutional. But Trump is doing it anyway, which is where he's saying, essentially, you know, the Congress appropriates money, and it's up to the executive branch, me, to spend that money. And therefore, I can choose whether or not to spend it.
And according to the Supreme Court, no, you can't choose whether or not to spend it. You have to spend it the way that Congress appropriated it. I mean, you can tweak things a little bit here and there, but basically speaking, you've got to get that money out of the door. And this is something that's going to become an increasingly large issue as we go forward, because basically all of these agencies that he's gutting, he's doing it through impoundment, which is unconstitutional, according to the Supreme Court.
Yes, of course, but for months now, various Republicans say, well, FEMA's out of money, which it is not out of money if the money does carry over from the past administration. That's my point.
Right, and the second part of that would be, if FEMA is out of money, then it's up to Congress to appropriate more money for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like either we're going to protect our citizens or we're...
I know. As I said, though, it was passed in December.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll take your word for it. Michael, thanks. Thanks for the call. Eric in Mojave, California. Hey, Eric, what's up?
Tom, good afternoon. What do you call it? I just wanted to piggyback a little bit on what Jerry was talking about from Michigan. That, you know, the Democrats need to start playing the game and fighting hard and just buy a bunch of 86-cent bonds for all these court cases going forward. And, you know, I still think that if I had been Joe Biden, I would have done what Romania did after the 2024 elections, and I would have said, you know what, I don't believe it was real. I don't believe it wasn't fixed. Let's have a recount. Let's have a re-election. And, you know, they don't use the power when they have it. They don't play the game to the hilt like the Republicans do, you know.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to an author who had her book removed from the high school where she graduated. All the details on the way. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The second candidate for state Supreme Court has announced their run. Chris Taylor, who is currently on the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, is running to challenge Justice Rebecca Bradley. Taylor announced her campaign today. Bradley, a conservative, has already announced she's running for re-election in the officially nonpartisan race. This spring, the most expensive judicial race in U.S. history was won by Susan Crawford over Brad Schimmel to give the state Supreme Court a 4-3 liberal majority. It's been 1 year since the Amtrak Borealis train began service. The Daily Line launched on May 21st of last year. Its service takes it between the Twin Cities and Chicago. Initial estimates for the line before it was open were for about 155,000 passengers per year. But in its first year, the Borealis line has served over 212,000 riders through last month. In addition to its starting and endpoints in the Twin Cities and Chicago, the line also has stops in Wisconsin cities such as Milwaukee, Wisconsin Dells, and La Crosse. City Hall has just one meeting on tap today, and that's for the La Crosse Center Board. The board will be reviewing its usual operational items, as well as take up a measure on the roof of the La Crosse Center. The only other committee to meet this week will be the Redevelopment Authority on Thursday. No agenda has been made available yet for that meeting. City Hall will be closed on Monday for Memorial Day. On Tuesday, the Board of Public Works will kick off the week's worth of committee meetings in La Crosse. The Black Hawk Bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa near Lansing is unexpectedly closed once again. The Iowa DOT said that movement was detected with one of the bridge's piers, prompting the closure. The bridge will be closed for at least this week and until further notice, according to DOT officials. Last year, the bridge was closed for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. A new bridge is under construction and expected to open in 2027. The closest river crossings are in La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. The rain has arrived to western Wisconsin. An inch of 2 or rain is possible with the showers that will be on and off through tomorrow night. Once the rain pushes out Thursday and Friday, highs will get back close to normal in the mid-60s. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wet and windy today, with gusts approaching 40 miles per hour and high temperatures 20 degrees below average, only scraping 50. Slap some wind chills on top of that, plus the rainfall soaking at times, a good 1 to 2 inches is possible. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The announcement by Republicans that they are removing 612 items from Governor Evers' proposed budget. Free school breakfast and lunches, extra money for PFAS monitoring. We've only scratched the surface of some 600 ideas investing in education, protecting consumers, and every one of those things is going to be taken out this week when Republicans meet to form their own budget.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, 2 swell Appleton gentlemen join me in the studio. First, comedian Rob Brackenridge, then owner of Appleton Cigar, our pal Norm Kopeski, is here to talk about Smoke on the Fox.
Nightlight with Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Wild stuff.
All right, what's on your mind today? Patrick in Chicago. Hey, Patrick, what's up?
Hey, Don, thanks for taking my call. Quick joke. The thing about Republicans and lying, that's why they picked an elephant to be their mascot. The main reason why I'm calling
What do Republicans have to do, or what do elephants have to do with lies?
Oh, because they have really long noses, so Pinocchio, you know.
Oh, okay. I was thinking the story about their memories, but okay, go for it. So.
Oh, well, yeah, that works, yeah. Too. But they have good memories. Anyway, so my main point was I wanted to talk about nationalizing the law, because you talk a lot about the commons and how, you know, that should belong to the public. And it seems to me like lawyers and law practices, like, that should belong to the people. And I don't understand why we have private practices, because that just allows the rich people to buy their way out of lawsuits. And so I'm just wondering if there's something that, like, I don't know about, some reason why the government can't do that. Could they do that? Just shut down all of the law firms and take them over?
Well, if they did, they would be doing it under a form of government that's not what we have. I mean, that's the kind of thing they would do in communist China. But there is a flywheel. There is a counterbalance to the power of big law firms and big money in the law, and that is pro bono work and public defenders. And I've long felt that public defenders are massively underfunded, and that's an area where Democrats should be focusing a whole lot more to more equitably or broadly distribute justice across the United States. You know, a lot of...
Yeah, the pro bono people are kind of the vein that I'm talking about. I wrote about this on my Substack at The Aggressive Progressive, but, why can't we just, like, lump all of the lawyers into, like, a pool that, like, the defendants and the prosecutors have to both choose from, and then, like, they can divide any, like, money that would be made between them, like, so that both sides get paid, so you don't have lawyers that are, like, incentivized to, like, you know, study the law and find out how ways around it in order to make, you know, lots and lots of money.
Like, well, if all lawyers were government employees, you could do that, but they're not. You're talking about government inserting itself into a private industry. I mean, you know, if you're an independent lawyer, you are basically an entrepreneur. And so, no, it ain't going to happen. And I'm not sure it would even be a good idea.
One quick other point. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but isn't the application of all the bond thing, isn't that ex post facto?
Arguably, yeah. The Constitution said, for people who don't know what we're talking about, the Constitution says you can't make laws that reach back into the past and change, you know, that basically criminalize things that in the past were not criminal, and then prosecute people for them based on that moment in the past. I think you could make an ex post facto argument, but again, I'm not an attorney, so what it's just going to do is create chaos. Thank you, Patrick. Victoria in Olympia. Hey, Victoria, what's on your mind today?
Well, I thought you'd be interested. This came over my telephone. Apparently, about half an hour ago, the House Rules Committee struck the text in the big, beautiful bill that would prevent the courts from enforcing contempt.
Oh, it just got removed?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Well, according to, it came from rules.house.gov, so I assume it's legit.
That is great. So that means that that our pressure campaign is working. That's really good news.
Well, thank God something's working, yes.
Well, thank you for that, Victoria.
You bet. We can make our telephone calls about other things.
There you go. Well, let me double check this and verify it. But, for the moment, okay. I'll take your word for it. Victoria, thank you. By the way, somebody called earlier and said, you know, why don't Democrats filibuster judges? And I said, I don't think you can. And it turns out I was right. In November of 2013, Senate Democrats eliminated the filibuster. This was during the Obama administration because the Republicans were filibustering every one of Obama's judges. So they had a majority. They had more than 50 votes in the Senate. So they just changed the rules and said no filibusters for judges. But you could still filibuster Supreme Court nominees. So in 2017... same deal. Senate Republicans this time changed that rule so that a simple 51 votes could pass, and you can't filibuster Supreme Court nominees either. So filibusters are not allowed around judges, just FYI. All right, back to our calls. Andy in Ashland. Hey, Andy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the topic of corruption. There's a great article in the Winter Jacobin magazine. The title of it is A Class in Politics. And they point out that corruption is what we're basically experiencing now is the inevitable result of the reordering of the state-economy relationship, otherwise known as neoliberalism. Mm-hmm. I've been writing op-eds since 2010 with the Citizens United decision in the local newspaper when we had one against neoliberalism, which really reversed the normal order of the free market, creating, as you know, an unofficial alliance between politicians and businessmen. I like what you said earlier. You were talking about corruption, and I think you mentioned some countries that were spoke about corruption and used it as a focus. And I'm wondering what you think about the Democratic Party focusing on that theme of corruption as AMLO did and Sheinbaum did in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And further, why aren't we consulting those people in Mexico? Why doesn't the Democratic Party hire Obrador as a consultant?
Yeah, I'm not sure that they need a consultant on this, but I do agree. The examples that I gave were Zelensky in Ukraine and not just Ukraine, actually. There have been multiple countries now. Alexei Navalny in Russia, of course, with his anti-corruption institution. But there have been multiple countries now where anti-corruption platforms essentially have propelled politicians into power. And I think that the Democrats should be calling out Trump's corruption and Kushner's corruption. I think they should be doing it every single day. I think this point that Rachel made last night is, just cannot be emphasized or repeated often enough, which is that autocrats, authoritarians, fascists, whatever you want to call them, they are always corrupt 100% of the time. And that's why they use that autocracy or that power or that authoritarianism to basically, protect their own corruption. And, Democrats need to be all over this thing. I mean, we need to bring back William Proxmire's Golden Fleece on steroids and do it. Andy, thanks for the call. John in Bay City. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Long, long time listener from Air America.
Oh, yeah.
I got a funny call yesterday as I was walking into my bathroom on my Bluetooth watch about some girl called me and said, gee, we'd love you to call your congressman in New York and tell him to vote for this big, beautiful bill. But my watch is breaking up a little. I didn't quite hear her right. Initially, I thought she was telling me to call this congressman and, tell him not to vote for the bill. And then she's going on and on with this big, beautiful bill. Nice young girl. And all of a sudden, I said, wait, are you asking me to call my congressman and tell him to vote for the bill? And she says, yes, it's a great bill. And I said, you got to be out of your mind.
Good on you, John.
It was so funny. It was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then I thought about it. Gee, if I knew she was doing that, I would have kept her on the phone for like a half an hour or something, so she couldn't call anybody else.
There you go. Yeah. That's when you start making friends.
I know. But I was just thinking, they must be getting desperate.
I think they are, and it looks like the big, beautiful bill did not pass out of the budget committee this morning. They still have.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, Trump called out Thomas Massie, the right-winger from Kentucky who loves to post pictures of his children with AR-15s on social media, for being a grandstander. And Massie is like, hey, tough luck. I'm still grandstanding. John, thanks for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
This is going to be interesting, how this thing works out. 45 minutes past the hour. Right back with your calls in just a second.
If you're over 50 and experiencing joint stiffness, thinning hair, sagging skin, or brittle nails, there's a critical reason why, and ignoring it could accelerate your aging from the inside out. A respected Texas doctor of physical therapy is sounding the alarm on a rapid decline in collagen, a structural protein essential for strong bones, flexible joints, and youthful skin. By age 50, your collagen levels may have dropped by over 50%, leaving your body vulnerable to pain, weakness, and visible signs of aging. That's why millions have turned to Native Path Collagen to restore what time takes away. This is a clinically supported, bioavailable collagen peptide that's helping men and women significantly strengthen bones and reduce joint pain, visibly reduce wrinkles and sagging skin, boost hair fullness and reverse nail damage, improve cellulite appearance, and feel real results in as little as 14 days. Right now, as a Tom Hartman listener, you can claim up to 45% off for a limited time at getnativepath.com/Hartman. Go to getnativepath.com/Hartman. Supplies are limited and demand is surging.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Their work to drive visitation and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover our great state, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. To learn more about what these great organizations are doing, visit destinationswisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Since 2005, the state of Indiana allowed voting-eligible students to use their student IDs to vote. April 16th, Governor Mike Braun signed SB 10, which included banning the use of student photo IDs for voting without any evidence of misuse. That law is headed to court. The bill's sponsor said in a January statement, "There has been a growing concern about election security in recent years, and it is our role to ensure our voter identification process is secure and accurate." There are over 436,000 college students in Indiana and additional voting-eligible high school students. In Bloomington, home to Indiana University, two-thirds of student voters use their student ID to vote. The Conservative Heritage Foundation's own voter fraud website shows only 59 voter fraud convictions of any kind since 2003, none of which appeared to be student voters, though ironically one conviction was a former Indiana Secretary of State. The Indianapolis Capital Chronicle reports that Count Us In and Women for Change Indiana brought suit in U.S. District Court, calling the law a, quote, surgical attack on young voters and charging the law violates both First Amendment and 14th Amendment rights by creating a burden without justification. We have links to the suit and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear,
"This is a type of blood cancer."
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect to people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing our program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
When I was just a kid.
Before the hour, while we're starting to see the tariffs now popping up, Walmart is starting to increase prices. Home Depot just announced that they're trying to minimize price increases, but there are some products that they just won't even be buying now that there's a 30% tariff on anything coming from China. So keep your eye on this. I'm guessing that the inflation figures are going to start creeping up. We're already seeing home mortgage rates above 7%. I'm looking at a couple of, you know, the two indicators that I have of the economy are
you know, the number of people who are participating or signing up for paid subscriptions on Substack, which has just flattened and essentially collapsed over the last month. And the companies that choose to advertise on our program, which is also flattened out. And I know that it's not just our program, because the ad agency that sells our program also sells about a dozen other radio programs, some conservatives. And everybody's advertising revenue is off right now. Watch MSNBC or CNN, and you'll see public service announcements for, you know, don't drive distracted, or don't drive drunk, or, you know, whatever. And when you see public service announcement like that, that those are just filler, because they can't sell advertising. And those are all, in my mind, you know, having worked in this industry, having owned two ad agencies, those are early warning signs that a recession is coming. And it's this kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. When business starts pulling back, starts laying off people, stops spending money, people stop spending money, demand drops, the economy starts to collapse. Michael in San Francisco. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today?
Market. The yields are going up.
Michael, your phone is breaking up really badly, and it sounds like you're talking to me from the bathroom or something. I don't know what, if you're using Bluetooth or something, if you could just use your phone normally.
Yeah. So, is that any better?
Not much, no.
All right, well.
Tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, and you can work it out with Mateo. Michael's on line 5, Mateo. Caleb in Chicago. Hey, Caleb, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I called you a few weeks back, and I gave you a theory on when the stock market was at its lowest. And I told you what I see is I see Trump bringing the rich to their knees. And I believe right now, all he's done is he's just let his foot off his neck for a while. And I just want to pitch a theory to you. I really believe that Trump is just a useful idiot. I believe the rich oligarchs and the people behind this have been searching for someone like him for a long time. And now that they have him, they're using him as long as they can. And I believe that once they get their tax break, you know, taxes, the tax cut through, destroying our health care, destroying all of our other stuff, he's going to take his foot back off their neck again and prove to him that he's powerful. I mean, I don't know how else to think about this, but we have Clarence Thomas and his wife that were involved in the insurrection. The media doesn't cover what's really happening. I mean, right now they're talking more about Biden's health than the fact that our country is under assault by someone.
That's because Jake Tapper's promoting his book. I mean, CNN is protecting
it. And either these owners of these media companies are aware, or they just, you know, they are involved in it. I mean, simple things like Sean Duffy goes on TV and talking about planes crashing, blaming Biden, and they can't simply follow up with simple questions and say, but you did lay off, you know, tons and tons of people that you actually need. So yeah, I don't really know how. I apologize.
No, it's fine. I thought you were done. This is how authoritarianism works. I mean, you know, Trump threatens reporters. He says, that's a stupid question. You know, get a real job, he said yesterday to a reporter. And what it does is it intimidates reporters. It causes them to be more docile, more domesticated, as it were. And, you know, and that's not a good thing for our country. It's not a good thing for the press. With regard to your analysis of the stock market, my take is a little different. I respect yours, Caleb. But my take is that Trump let his insiders know, and we have some evidence of this, by the way, that he was going to announce these tariffs and they were going to crash the market. And those people got out of the market. And then he let them know when it was time to get back in the market. He even put it on Truth Social and said, time to buy into the market. And so if you had bought in when he said buy in, you'd be up, 10-15% right now? I mean, it's pretty substantial.
Actually, yeah, in some cases, a little bit, you know, quite a bit more.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't even ask Steve Witkoff simple questions like, hey, why is Trump accepting a plane from somebody who funds Hamas? I mean, it's not, I don't even know if you can call it failure. It's choosing to not truly cover what's happening.
I agree. And I think it's because he has succeeded in cowing the press. Caleb, thank you for the call. Tony in Las Vegas. Hey, Tony, what's up?
Oh, not much. Just an incidental kind of small fact that I observed yesterday. I'm a volunteer at the VA here in Nevada, and I'm sitting there a few feet away from the picture of the president, and a workman shows up and removes his picture, and drills a bunch of holes in the wall, and adds the picture of J.D. Vance. to the wall.
In addition to Trump or instead of Trump?
No, with Trump. Trump's picture, you know, in all the facilities over 60 years I've dealt with, there's been a picture of the president plus whoever's in charge of that department, whether it's the post office or the VA or whatever. Right. Now they are adding J.D. Vance's picture. Trump's picture goes up, and on each side is now J.D. Vance and the director of that department.
Oh, interesting.
That's never happened in 60 years.
Did you ask who issued the order that this happened?
It's been issued across the country that J.D. Vance needs.
No, but I mean, did this come
added.
From Pete Hegseth, or did this come from
no,
I, J.D.
No, the
Vance's
workman
office?
Didn't know exactly. The workman I talked to is going to all the VA facilities to add J.D. Vance's, and apparently in all federal facilities, his picture is now being added.
Right.
On the wall.
Right. The question in my mind is, who ordered that?
Yeah, I don't know, but that's why I'm throwing it out to you.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody knows. Maybe somebody can call in and fill us in.
Yeah. It was so upsetting because they've never put up the picture of the vice president.
No, I got it. Tony, maybe something's going on. Maybe this is just, you know, this is what authoritarians do. They slap their picture all over the place. Tony, thank you for the call. Amazing. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, and that includes you. So get out there, get active, tag, you are it. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the folks around you. Stay safe. Enjoy your day, and I'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Do you love watching television? If you're on a fixed budget, you need to make this free call right now to Dish and find out how you can get a fixed monthly price to watch all the television you want for 3 full years. In addition to a 3-year price guarantee, you can also get free monthly movie rentals. They give you one free movie rental every month. That's a $165 value, yours free. Plus, get free in-home tech visits, no-cost equipment replacements, a free voice remote, and you can watch commercial-free TV. Even access all your favorite apps to stream like Netflix, Amazon Prime, YouTube, and more. Now is the perfect time to call Dish. Take advantage of the 3-year price guarantee. Save yourself some money, and all your equipment is free. Call right now.
800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. 800-478-5560. That's 800-478-5560.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After Republican disagreements this week over the GOP reconciliation bill, GOP leaders invited President Trump to Capitol Hill today, trying to shore up support for the sweeping measure that would cut funding to programs like Medicaid and ensure tax cuts for the wealthy. ABC's Karen Travers has details.
The president wants to see action. He wants to see these Republicans get in line, and he expects every Republican to vote yes on this. In terms of what the president might give in, I think he made it pretty clear it's not him that will be making any concessions. He said there are some people who might want a couple of things that I don't like, or he says they're not going to get.
Mortgage rates on the rise again. The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage topping 7%. That's the highest level since April. Severe storms targeting the South and Midwest states again today as residents in hard-hit states try to recover. More than two dozen deaths blamed on this week's storms. This is ABC News.